You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
In the 30 football seasons since Arkansas joined the SEC, the Razorbacks have only had seven when they won nine games. 2021, one of those 7 years, Arkansas finishes 9-4 after a 24-10 win over Penn State in the Outback Bowl. The Razorbacks really dominated the Nittany Lions after halftime and turned in one of their more complete halves of the season in the second half of that bowl win. Today on the podcast, we'll talk about the game. We'll break it down. We'll also kind of talk about its significance for the Razorbacks with Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. I'm Matt Jones. During the game, I looked up Arkansas's third quarter scoring margin. I knew it was pretty good. And what it turned out to be after they outscored Penn State 17-0 in the third quarter of that game down in Tampa for the season, 122-68. That's 54 points better than their opponents in the third quarter. And that was their best quarter of the season when you take all 13 games into consideration. And Clay, I think what that really speaks to is that Sam Pittman and his coaching staff were really good this season at making halftime adjustments and outplaying the teams after halftime. And that was certainly the case against Penn State the other day in the bowl game.
Yeah, it's incredible, really, when you think about those numbers and you go through the other quarters and there's not another quarter that's like that, which really makes that jump out. That was something that about midnight last night, it hit me. I looked at it and started scanning across it. I was standing next to Kendall Briles out on the field during the celebration, and he's taking selfies with his son as the confetti came down. And I said, "Coach, y'all had an incredible second half." I didn't really understand that it was the third quarter, 17-0, until I went back and started writing. But it's like you just go back through the year and you think about the Rice game and the Texas game and some of the others that they really – and I'll go back to last year. The third quarter that they had against Tennessee was incredible. I mean, it's – so they've done it before. And I know that the first thing that Sam talked about was I think it's more of a calming – effect that he has at halftime, saying you're down three. That's not like being down 300. And then, you know, then they went around the room and fixed the things that they knew that they had to do and make adjustments. Then James Franklin was first into the interview room and he said they made adjustments. And that's kind of really saying simple. And they both went into the things that they, you know, that happened that Arkansas changed a little bit in their quarterback reads to make that quarterback run so dynamic. But yeah, you're right, Matt. It was incredible.
Scotty, you wrote about this afterward. The biggest adjustment they made was the zone read option with KJ Jefferson. Just a really great performance by him overall in the game, but especially in that third quarter.
He's the first Arkansas quarterback to rush for more than 100 yards since Matt Jones. And Kyle Parkinson, right before KJ started taking questions from reporters, he whispered that to KJ. And KJ, I was watching on the Zoom, and KJ just kind of smirked. And that kind of thing just doesn't really, I don't think it like resonates with KJ that like he's doing what he's doing. But that third quarter, you know, he was the heart and soul of what I thought was probably, offensively anyway, one of the more physically dominant stretches that Arkansas's had under Sam Pittman. And as ugly as that first half was, that's how physically dominant Arkansas was in the third quarter. KJ nearly ran for more yards in the third quarter alone than Arkansas did in the whole first half. And Arkansas, they ran 20 plays and averaged 10 yards a play in a single quarter. That's pretty good. And then the defense was up for the challenge too. I didn't think that Sean Clifford really had a clean pocket to work with for a whole lot of the day. Arkansas was just rolling, felt like fresh bodies in there, getting pretty good pressure. And then the back end was holding up fairly well after some coverage busts early, but KJ was awesome. And the most interesting thing to me is that you know, he grew so much throughout the year. During the preseason, people were questioning his weight after he came into a press conference, you know, just wearing a wife beater. He kind of looked a little bit sloppy, but he used that frame to his advantage the whole year. And then Kendall Briles came in one time in the preseason and said that he would like KJ to complete like 65% of his throws. And that was met with a lot of skepticism because the one knock on KJ, we knew he could run, but we were a little bit leery that he'd be able to throw the ball accurately, consistently. And he did. He completed 67% of his throws this year. I mean, he was just awesome. And I thought that his performance in Tampa was just kind of like the little cherry on top. That was a nice final statement from him.
You know, just to kind of piggyback onto that. So when he was a true freshman, there was practices in August that I remember a good friend of mine, Dave Rader, who was head coach at Tulsa, I think he's a state senator in Tulsa now, came over and watched practice. And he called me afterwards and he said, I just saw a young Cam Newton. And I was like, yeah, that's got to be KJ Jefferson. He says, well, so if he can learn how to complete, say, the third down pass to the tight end, you know, throw it into a tight window, because you got to be able to do that too. You can't just be a runner. But it says if he can get to where he can complete, you know, the short passes, said he will be a dynamic player. He said he's as good of a young talent as I've seen. And, you know, Dave was a quarterback coach at Alabama and worked for Parcells with the Giants, and he's seen a lot of quarterbacks and his coach good quarterback play. I was just like, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be that kind of a passer, but yeah. But the one thing he didn't say is anything about his deep passing. Well, that's where he's really, really gone off the charts. And because of that, the safeties have to play deep, and he gets the picture that he wants in the box with a light box. And you have a 245-pound quarterback with a light box where the linebackers are not getting any help from the safety. Whoa, that's what makes this guy a special quarterback.
Scotty mentioned Kyle Parkinson just a second ago. Kyle is the media relations director, in case you don't know who he is. That's the liaison between us and the football players. KJ Jefferson, you know, he was the first player with 100 yards since Matt Jones, a quarterback. I go back to the Rice game, though. You remember he had the 68-yard touchdown run. I called back on what I think we thought was a pretty debatable holding call against Keytron Jackson in that game. Otherwise, this would have been his second 100-yard game. And then the other thing that stands out to me about Jefferson's game against Penn State, Clay, is that he had 110 yards on 20 carries, but that also includes 5 sacks in which he lost 24 yards. Otherwise, you know, he would have had a much better, you know, rushing performance.
Well, he was terrific. And I was talking to Rocket Sanders after the game, and I was like, well, do you ever catch yourself when you're not in the game just looking at him and thinking of him as one of the guys that comes out of your room, big physical running back? And he's like, yeah, he's one of us. He's a running back. And he is like another tailback. And he will, you know, they tripped him a couple of times, but I don't think they were going to get him down on either one of those plays. The guy on the ground just reached out, and that's the way I'd want to tackle that big dude. It's just trip him, because I don't think I'd want to take him on. 135 yards gained, 25 loss for a net of 110, long of 34, average of 5.5. Yeah, that's Matt Jones-like numbers.
I thought it was interesting, too. I guess I was listening to the Zoom, and the voice of the reporter I didn't recognize, but he mentioned, he was like, Coach Pittman, earlier in the game, there was a run KJ Jefferson had where he was on the edge, and, you know, instead of sliding, he just kind of lowered his shoulder like a fullback. And Sam Pittman, I thought, he kind of nailed it. He's like, we don't do none of that. I'm talking about sliding. And he said, that ain't how we're built. And that's perfect for KJ, because KJ's, I don't remember KJ sliding this year. If he did, he may have done it, you know, a couple times, 3 times, but I don't remember KJ doing that. He's a guy that, you know, when he runs, he's out to pick up yards and, you know, kind of dish out some punishment for even, you know, having the thought that, hey, I'm going to go try to tackle this guy.
He says that he wants to make a statement. And we saw that against Texas where he kind of had a safety lined up and he could kind of go to either side of it and he hunted him up. And I'll tell you who it reminded me of when he did that was Darren McFadden. And McFadden would have a chance to just give somebody a little bit of a, you know, a dip a shoulder or a head fake and slip a guy. And he would just try to run him over. And they used to have, you know, it was like, hey, don't take that punishment. He goes, you know, he would tell Houston, he says, I'm not trying to dodge punishment. I'm trying to hand it out.
One more thought on the offense, because I do want to talk about the defense, because I thought they played really well. You can't talk about this bowl game without mentioning the fact that both teams were without some of their best players. Arkansas without Treylon Burks and Trey Williams. Penn State was without a number of players. I think six different players opted out of the game, including four all Big Ten defenders, two of which were also all Americans, a defensive end and a safety. Also their best receiver didn't play in the game. But with that said, Clay, it looked to me offensively like Arkansas tried to go into this game doing a lot of the same things they did on offense throughout the season when they had Treylon Burks in the first half. And really in the second half, going back to the adjustments, they kind of figured out our bread and butter at this point in the season with the personnel that they have is KJ Jefferson.
Yeah, it was clear to me that both teams at halftime decided we're going to put the ball in our best players' hands. And they had called runs, Penn State did, with Sean Clifford in the third quarter. And actually, I think Bumper Pool put a hit on him that eventually knocked him out of the game. The medical staff took the helmet away from Sean Clifford in the second half after some of those hits. But I think both teams, we're going to make plays with our best player, and that's KJ Jefferson, and seven straight runs to start the third quarter and went right down the field. And there might have been a pass mixed in the second series that led to a field goal. But we're going to put it on the ground. And I thought another guy that really had a good third quarter was Ty Clary, who took over right tackle for Dalton Wagner, who bruised some ribs in the first half. And that I thought that was reminiscent of what Ty did a while back against came in the first half against Auburn. You know, the game that the refs took away. And I thought Ty really had a great game coming off the bench. And you got to remember that he's fresh on a hot 85-degree day, and Penn State's players were wilting in the second half. They had no subs in the defensive line. Their backups were true freshmen that they decided to hold their red shirts. And I thought Ty Clary made a difference. But you're right. They put the ball in their best players' hands just like they would try to do with Burks. But in this case, it was KJ.
I thought Kendall Briles, the offensive coordinator, did a good job of just taking what the defense gave him after halftime. I think if he returns next year, and there's no reason to think he won't, but, you know, we'll see what happens with the coaching staff. There's always movement, I feel like, within college football coaching staffs, especially after that February signing date. So it never surprises me if there is change. But I think if he does return, Scotty, the one play that everybody would be fine if they never see again is a double pass. I looked this up. In Briles' 2 years as Arkansas's offensive coordinator, of course, they had that devastating at the time, pass against Penn State when Warren Thompson basically threw it right to the safety. But in his 2 years as Arkansas's offensive coordinator, they've had wide receivers throw the ball 11 times, completed one pass. It was Thompson to Burks this year against Texas A&M, and three of those passes have been intercepted.
Yeah, not one of their bread and butter plays, not one that should probably stick around much longer. And, you know, as good as Treylon Burks was, that's like the one thing that he wasn't great at. You know, I don't think he ever completed a pass when the ball got swung to him and he threw it downfield. He's just better with the ball in his hands running up the field or running past guys with the ball. The first half was just frustrating because you would see, you know, Arkansas, they'd hand the ball to Dominic Johnson and he'd do his dancing bear thing where he, you know, makes four or five different guys miss and he'd pick up 6 or 7 yards. And he'd do that a couple times. And then they'd try something cute with like a Davion Warren wide receiver reverse type thing that would lose yardage. They'd get behind schedule. And then it kind of just throws the whole series out of whack. I think And I'm probably not the only person that thinks this, but like whenever Arkansas comes out in like the second halves of games and there's like a real clear focus of, you know, on Arkansas running the ball, I go back to Matt, your when I was hired story with Sam Pittman, and in the room, there were some napkins, I believe, that just said run the damn ball. And that's like Sam Pittman in a nutshell, right? Like that's what he wants his teams to be. Like there's one of the best running teams in the country, man. Like use the folks who got you there. And he turned to KJ Jefferson. The read was there, and KJ was brilliant, I think, all year, deciding when to hand the ball off and when to keep it. And then he used, you know, Dominic Johnson. He was great. He probably looked a little bit winded sometimes, but I think he just runs so hard he tires himself out a little bit. And then Rocket didn't get a whole lot of love, I don't think, even though he scored twice. But Rocket was great. When he puts his foot in the ground and cuts up field, he just looks – he's different. And Arkansas's got a pretty tough running core with those three guys going into next season. I just think, like, that was – it just seemed like the best thing to do was put the ball in the hands of the guys who were Bears to bring down. And that's what they did.
Penn State, one of the worst teams running the football this year nationally, Clay. Three things stood out to me defensively for Arkansas in the bowl game. Number one was that you had the three linebackers, Henry and Poole and Morgan, playing together more than I think we've seen this year. I also thought you saw Barry Odom call a lot more linebacker pressure throughout the game, and was really impressed with the play of Joe Fouché. I think he might have been the one that made a mistake that allowed the long touchdown pass in the second quarter. I'm not sure. It was definitely one of the safeties who was on the field. But overall, a pretty good defensive performance, and Fouché in particular ends up with an interception. He batted down the ball on the fake field goal late in the second quarter, ended up with a sack. I think another half tackle for loss or somewhere in there was their leading tackler during the game. Just a really good performance, I thought, defensively.
No question, Barry Odom had some different things dialed up for Penn State's offensive line, and that's been their bugaboo, that they have not been able to protect Clifford. And he's got a lot of scrambles on the year for not much yardage when you just kind of look at how many carries that he had. That without question, they had sometimes 9 and 10 guys within 3-4 yards of the line of scrimmage. Sometimes they dropped out of that, but sometimes they came. And I thought early in the game, they brought Greg Brooks a couple of times and they brought Fouché. And then, of course, they ran the linebacker. There were some times that they brought 6 guys, and the coverage really didn't have to be very good because they had 2 guys kind of breaking free pretty quick. But I think that the problem for Penn State all year has been offensive line play, and they do not have a bell cow running back. There's not a Dominic Johnson or a Rocket Sanders on that Penn State team, which is quite surprising considering that their recruiting has been pretty good, that they don't have a bell cow tailback.
And one would think with, you know, the success that Saquon Barkley had there under James Franklin, they'd be able to recruit better at the running back position. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo pig!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
before the day was over, after Arkansas beat Penn State, a couple of personnel notes came out. Monteric Brown said that he's going to declare for the NFL draft. He had another year of eligibility remaining, but he won't return to Arkansas. Of course, all SEC season almost feels like for him it's the right time to go, you know, kind of strike while the iron is hot. We'll see how he performs in combine type settings, but from a statistical standpoint, I don't know that he could have another year as good as he had this season. And then Traylon Smith, the running back, says that he won't come back to Arkansas. We don't know if he's going to enter a transfer portal, what his next move is. I say he says it on Instagram. It said, deuce, deuce, checking out. I think that's lingo for I'm not coming back, but that's kind of how we took it, is that he's not going to be back. And, you know, if you ask me, Traylon Smith isn't one of their two best running backs. I thought by the end of the season, Dominic Johnson and Rocket Sanders had supplanted him as one and two, maybe not on the depth chart, but in terms of production and just passing the eye test, I thought that they were Arkansas's two best running backs. So he won't return to Arkansas. Just to kind of put the bowl game in an historical context, it's the first time that Arkansas has ever beaten a Big Ten team in a bowl game. They were 0-4 previously. They lost to Tom Brady in Michigan in the Citrus Bowl in 1999, New Year's Day 99. It was the 98 season. Also lost to Brett Bielema's Wisconsin team in the Capital One Bowl. They lost to Minnesota in a Music City Bowl. I'm blanking here on the other team. It'll come to me in a little bit, I'm sure. But they were 0-4 all time in bowl games against Big Ten teams, and they beat Penn State. So there's a little bit of notoriety there. I think the Outback Bowl, if you look at just the overall bowl picture, is probably one of the top 10 or so bowl games. And so, you know, I think that it's a big deal to win a bowl game like this. There's a lot of discussion this bowl season about, you know, do bowls really matter and all this nonsense. And I think that's what it is. If you don't like the bowl season, don't watch it. I think that, Clay, when you look at what this meant to Arkansas the other day, it's clearly a big deal to win a bowl game like that.
Well, it's, you know, they're running out of space for trophies, that's for sure. And they were excited to go. And I think it's a good bowl. In, you know, you're talking about South Florida. It's better to me than the Gator Bowl. I've been to two of the, you know, the bowls in Orlando, Capital One, Citrus, whatever you want to call them. And they were not memorable trips for a lot of reasons. It seemed like the weather was bad. You know, it was just a lot of different things. This was a totally different experience for the Arkansas team, for their fans. It was 82 to 85. It wasn't one drop of rain. It was just a great trip. And it was, you know, this was just kind of that kind of year though, Matt. And you look back at the year, it didn't rain for any of the games. We had open air press box all the way through the Missouri game. There were things that went right. You know, you get, two Big 12 crews for the Texas game and the Penn State game. They didn't call any penalties on Arkansas. I mean, you just think back of how things fell for this team. A lot of good fortuitous bounces. And we've been kind of bemoaning how things didn't go Arkansas's way. And we need to remind ourselves sometimes when they do.
It seems like the older I get, the more recent events are the ones that slip my mind first. Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl, the most recent time they had played a Big Ten team. That was their other loss in a bowl game. A couple of other bowl notes for Arkansas. Sam Pittman is the fifth Arkansas coach who won his first bowl game with the Razorbacks. The other were Frank Broyles in his second season. They won the Gator Bowl. Lou Holtz at the end of his first season, of course, beat OU in that memorable Orange Bowl. Bobby Petrino won the Liberty Bowl in the end of his second season. And Brett Bielema won the Texas Bowl at the end of his second season. Of course, Sam Pittman was on that staff. And it was Arkansas's first New Year's Day Bowl win in 22 years. The last time that had happened was against Texas in that memorable Cotton Bowl on New Year's Day 2000, the first game of the new millennium. The last time that Arkansas had won a bowl game that was not in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Day, 1969, when they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. So kind of interesting there. Clay, we talked about offense. We talked about defense. Special teams was another area that I thought Arkansas performed well in on Saturday. Cam Little made his only field goal attempt. He took over kickoff duties for Vito Calvaruso, who transferred before the game. He says that he's going to Wisconsin. Even I thought Nathan Perotti and the one opportunity that he had to return a punt got him some yardage. He fielded the ball well. I just thought overall it was a pretty good day for the Razorback special teams.
Yeah, Reed Bauer ended up averaging 43 for the year, 44 in this game. I thought he outkicked his coverage a couple of times, but that's the only flaw you can see. But the special teams this year, they're pretty antiseptic, and that was following a year where it didn't go well for Scott Fountain, as the special teams coordinator. It seemed like every other week we were pointing out some of the flaws, but Cam Little put all the kickoffs in the end zone. There was one that came real close to the pylon that you thought, okay, this one's going out of bounds. But yeah, that was something that you kind of worried about because Vito Calvaruso had been so good. But that's another piece that was missing that you just didn't even realize that it was gone because Cam Little was so good. But yeah, Penn State, not nearly as good in special teams. Missed field goal, had a fake field goal kind of blow up on them. I don't know why they were trying to kick a 54-yarder, but it was another plus game for special teams, which you can just go through the season and say, yeah, they won it. They won special teams here, they won there. But the big thing is they didn't lose special teams, maybe except for the Georgia game.
Bowl significance, I think that you can look at it historically. You can look at it currently, too. It gives Arkansas some momentum. Really all that's left to talk about this season, I think, is number one, which players come back. Bumper Pull, John Ridgeway are a couple, I think, that Sam Pittman has said he's trying to re-recruit them to come back for another season with that extra year of eligibility because of COVID. We've talked about previously Bo Limmer and Dalton Wagner and Jalen Catalan are all coming back for Arkansas. If you could add a Pool and a Ridgeway or either one of the two to that group, I think you feel really good about your senior class for next season. You may feel good about it anyway. And then is Arkansas, do they finish in the top 20? That's a question that I've heard a lot of people ask in the short time since the bowl game ended. And as I look at the top 20, there were a lot of teams. Arkansas was 22nd in the AP poll at the end of the regular season. That 21 ranking that you saw on TV, that was from the College Football Playoff Committee. And the Playoff Committee, they do not update their rankings at the end of the bowl season. Their rankings are final. AP and coaches will both update their rankings at the end of the season. But Arkansas was 22nd in the most recent AP poll. They were 24th in the most recent coaches poll. And as I look at the teams that were ahead of them, I think the top 10, they're safe. They're not going to fall below 20. Most of those teams are playing other really good teams in bowl games like the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, and whatnot. The teams that were ahead of Arkansas, they either won their bowl games, they lost a close bowl game to another ranked team, or like in the instance of NC State, they had their bowl game canceled. I'm really kind of intrigued to see how this plays out for Arkansas. How high can they make it in this AP poll? Because if voters are just going by their most recent ballot, which I think a lot of them do, I don't know that there's a whole lot of room for Arkansas to move up. I think it probably comes down to, how far does BYU fall? Because they lost to UAB in a bowl game. I mentioned NC State, were they penalized for not getting to play a bowl game? Oregon, I think they're going to fall pretty significantly after the way they lost the Pac-12 championship game and to OU. But there's not a lot of room for Arkansas to move up here in these rankings.
Yeah, I think you're right. I pulled up the AP poll on ESPN just now. Right ahead of Arkansas is Houston, and Houston might be one of those teams that move up. So there, maybe Arkansas jumps into that number 20 spot. But I mean, Houston won where they beat Auburn, right? And then Clemson won its bowl game. I'm not sure about NC State, Wake Forest, but I mean, there's a possibility Arkansas can slide in at number 20. I think it kind of depends the way that maybe I'm wrong in thinking this, but it just depends on whether voters, look at Penn State and like, hey man, their top six guys were out, or five of their top six guys were out, and they had, half a dozen starters missing. But at the same time, Arkansas had, its best pass rusher and its best player you know, not playing too. So that's something they're going to have to take into account. I just think it's, man, winning nine games is hard. And I think voters are going to look at, hey, Arkansas won nine games and they've not been, you know, in the vicinity of the, of like a top 25 in years. Maybe they give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe give them a little bit of credit for the huge run they made in year two. I, not in my wildest estimation that I believe that Arkansas was going to win nine in Sam Pittman's second year. I thought, you know, if they got bowl eligible in the regular season, that'd be great. Maybe you win a seventh game and you maybe you start building some steam. And then year three, if you get some guys back and maybe add some pieces and some of your incoming guys flourish a little bit, maybe you take a big step in year three. But there, I mean, 2022 has got tons of possibilities for Arkansas. But a lot of it, like Matt mentions, about getting some guys back, figuring out your leadership and some playmakers for KJ Jefferson on the perimeter. But it looks like a top 20 team to me. Just, I don't know if I think the same way that some of these AP guys do.
Well, one of the things that I always kind of look at is how was the game played? How does it resonate nationally? And I was driving, I finished my story, and then I took a 5-hour drive north into Southeast Alabama to spend the night after the bowl game. And I listened to all the broadcast of the bowl games and halftime, all of the recaps of the complete day did not mention Arkansas and Penn State. And then I got to my hotel room about 11 o'clock and started, it was after the Rose Bowl, and I started watching Sports Center and Scott Van Pelt. They never showed any Arkansas highlights. And the game was on ESPN2, and I just don't know that it was something that just jumped out there that everybody, I think probably most people were watching the end of the Kentucky-Iowa game. So as far as what we think Arkansas should have received as far as national recognition during the day, I'm not sure that ESPN produced any of that.
Yeah, I definitely think the opt-outs, you know, that made the game a little bit less intriguing for, you know, maybe the casual fan. They may have tuned into the game and heard that, you know, Penn State's got half a dozen guys out, Arkansas is missing two key guys, and they're like, maybe I can find something else to watch. That's the only thing that I can really think of off the top of my head. But I just think Arkansas looked good. Like I mentioned earlier, like one of the more physically dominant stretches that they've had under Sam Pittman, and they did it, you know, kind of with their backs, you know, somewhat against the wall trailing at halftime in that game.
I think if you look at the top 25 right now, I would not pick 20 teams to have beaten Arkansas at the end of the regular season. There are some teams in there like Louisiana Lafayette who only had one loss, but that loss was a pretty bad loss to Texas the week before Texas came to Fayetteville. I think if you put those two teams head to head, Arkansas would beat Lafayette rather easily. Real quick, most memorable game of 2022 for you, Scotty?
I'm going to go back to the Texas A&M game. Just think it was a huge win. I remember 2 years ago, Tyson Morris was inconsolable walking off the field after a close loss. I saw him in the tunnel after Arkansas won that game earlier in the year, and he was like, there ain't no better feeling, man. That's just burned in my mind.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. But since you took that one, I'm going to take Texas. And there is not a better feeling than to watch the field covered with Razorback fans in Fayetteville and to see Texas kind of slinking off the field. It was as sweet as it gets. And, you know, they don't get a trophy for that game, but that one to me will be where I knew Sam Pittman could get it done.
No surprise there that Clay's picking Texas. I think for me, it'd be back-to-back Mississippi State and LSU. They didn't play their best game in either of those games, but they found a way to win them. And those, you're always going to have two or three of those type of games that contribute to these 8-9 win type seasons. And so I thought those were two big games to the course of the season. We appreciate you joining us all season for the Whole Hog Football Podcast. We'll continue our football podcast periodically through the off season. Also hope you'll join us for the basketball podcast of Mid-America, which publishes weekly during basketball season. And just around the corner is the relaunch of the Whole Hog Baseball podcast. Hard to believe the college baseball season is only about a month and a half away. You can find all of our podcasts on Apple or Spotify. Just search Whole Hog Radio. That's three words, WholeHogRadio, Whole Hog Radio. Hope you'll leave us a review. It'll help others find our podcast. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones, and we'll see you next time.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.